Today's sponsor is Home Theater Solutions. Absolutely love these guys. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. Home Theater Solutions specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit htsav.net. All right, welcome back. This is the Rehoboth Social Podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning, it is. What's today? September the 21st, 2 days before either my brother or my dad's birthday. I can't ever, 22nd or 23rd.
I don't remember which one.
I get confused. It's a crapshoot, but they will be having their birthday. Happy birthday, Dad. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. So today we have in Marissa
Levy-Lehrer.
Oh my God. That's such a rock name though, right? It's like so stagey.
I guess so. I don't know. Is it kind of cinematic?
It is. It's, well, anytime I think you go by three names, it kind of sets a different level.
I know. It's really just a matter of convenience more than the drama of it all.
The drama. Well, good morning. It is fun to have you. We've been communicating, and you're starting a new project. We got invited to come check it out. It's called The Listening Booth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to say where it is because I'm not sure where it was. I mean, I know where it was, but I'm not sure where it was supposed to start.
Yeah, we can get into that.
Yeah, we'll get into it. What I love about it is you're like, this will go on.
Yes, absolutely.
Nothing's stopping us.
No.
And, you know, I was thinking about this morning. You know, I've been here 30 years in this town, and early part of my life, I grew up in New Mexico, Albuquerque, which I always considered like a small, big town,
mm-hmm.
or a big, small town, however you want to say it. And when I say it, like, we always had, like, you know, little places to find music, you know, small bars and clubs. But we also had, like, Tingley, I guess it was Tingley Arena, where all the big bands seemed to come through Albuquerque. And then moving out to San Diego, and, you know, it was just, you have everything. And
yeah.
Then you have the super groups, like, you know, when Megadeth or Metallica and Guns N' Roses,
the arena shows.
The arenas where the Chargers used to play. And then I moved to Rehoboth, which, listen, is fantastic, but, you know, the bar scene, obviously, and we've been trying to promote a lot of the local artists through the podcast because they are businesses.
Yeah.
They are one small business, and we're here to try to help them. And so we've had a lot of businesses in, or a lot of music bands in. But it's, you know, between the bar and then going to Philly, it's sort of a challenge to find.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the
original music.
The thing that I've discovered is that there are some incredibly talented musicians around here. Like,
check out my podcast. I've had about five or six of them on.
But even just like the ones who are doing cover bands and doing their music professional, doing cover band music professionally, mm-hmm. are unbelievably talented musicians. And a lot of them have original music.
Absolutely.
They just have no venue to play it in.
Yeah.
Or they have to like sneak it into their sets when they're doing covers, you know? And I don't personally play covers as a musician. And so I just was like, there needs to be.
Well, you did play one cover.
I played Leaving on a Jet Plane with my daughter.
Yeah, which I can tell you, that was a pretty freaking special moment.
Oh, yeah. That's what a lot of people have been telling me, that it was really sweet. She's a tremendous little kid, and she's writing her own songs.
Well, it looks like you're a tremendous mom.
Oh, well, thank you.
I mean, listen, I have three kids. You know, they can only do so much, right? You know, we have to try to show up for them. And I think it was really cool because I know I guess it's just in the time run, but we're always trying to help let our kids be involved in, you know, small business or whatever adventure, any opportunity we can try to teach our kids something.
Yeah, well, I mean, actually, my kids are part of the reason I'm doing this. I mean, we can rewind and talk about like what the listening booth is, but
no, I do, and you have to forgive me because I do this.
It's totally
I knock
fine.
Us off the road, and then because I have these moments, but yeah, we
but
can go
just
back.
Let me finish that thought,
yeah,
really quick.
Please.
I mean, you know, I thought about like what's the legacy I want to leave for my children,
yeah,
and also I want to have a career that I can involve my children, like after the pandemic and being home with them all the time and realizing that, you know, they're kind of cool and I want to sort of hang out with them once in a while. I wanted to have a place that I knew that they could just come after school and hang out with me.
Yeah.
And I could still get my work done and they could be influenced by the people I want them to be influenced by and just hang out and, you know, think mom's cool for a little while. So I thought, this is really what I want. This is special for them.
That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
So so we went, about a month ago?
In August, mid-August, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sorry we couldn't do this podcast sooner. It's just, you know.
Well, we have another one coming up, so.
Good. Well, that's good. That's why we're doing this podcast. But we got to come. You invited us. It was at
the Cinema Art Theater.
Cinema Art Theater,
behind
which
the Wawa.
Is behind the Wawa, just in front of the Lefties.
Yep.
And it was really cool. You know, one thing that I feel for me about music is I'm always open to music, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, growing up, I was all about, like, Metallica, right? I was heavy metal, Eddie Van Halen. That was my kind of genre. But as I've gotten older, as I've surrendered a little bit to, you know, I can't play Metallica forever, right? And I need to expand my, you know, my listening pleasures, I have gotten into this place where I'm just down with all music. And it was great to come over there and sit and listen to
Julie Lloyd.
Yeah, who's a friend of yours, right?
She's a friend. We went to college together. We actually started the Songwriters and Performers Society at NYU.
Nice.
Together.
Is that still a thing?
I have no idea. It'd be interesting to see.
Yeah.
I know it continued a little bit after I graduated, but I don't know how long.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was great.
She was great. And then she opened for Chris Matthews and Heather May, which they blew me away. They were so phenomenal.
Yeah, of course I missed those. That's the story of my life, right?
Well, you know, and it was sort of unexpected. I mean, I don't know if you know the story, but basically Christine Lavin was supposed to be the headliner for our show.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, 3 days before the show, she emailed me to tell me that she was in the hospital.
Hope she's okay.
She's totally fine now. She actually, a week after, emceed the Philadelphia Folk Festival. So
okay,
she's fine. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, now she gets to reschedule with us and we can have another big event, which will be great.
Well, and it's hard to start this off, right? It's like the first. I mean,
the
this
first,
is...
like if it were maybe the third or the fourth, I'd be like, okay, I can handle this. But the first event,
right,
our headliner has to cancel. But it ended up being great. I mean, Julie, who was supposed to just be in the audience, volunteered to open, and she's phenomenal.
She
and then
it.
Chris and Heather, who were supposed to open, ended up being the headliners. And honestly, I'm so grateful for that because I had seen Chris play before, but never Heather. And they just blew me away. I couldn't believe what a presentation they put on, you
yeah.
know? So, and on a lot of people in the audience had never heard them before. And people were coming up to me for weeks after going, you know, telling me how grateful they were for bringing that kind of talent here. So I don't know. We've tapped into something.
It was great. And yeah. I think that there is an opening. There is something that is needed because, you know, I don't always want to go to a bar and see music. I mean, I guess I will. I'm sometimes, you know, no disrespect to any of the people that I say right now, but I'm not always feeling like going to the Ball and Cork or the Rudder. You know, I mean, I don't even drink.
It's a vibe, right?
It's a vibe. And the vibe at this event was really nice and it was cool.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, I'm kind of creating a space that my parents would want to go to.
Right.
My parents are, you know, in their 70s. They live in Bethesda most of the time, but they're in Lewis about 4 or 5 months a year. And I wanted to create a space where they could go enjoy a night out, have a glass of wine, something tasty to eat, and just listen to music and yeah. not have to worry about the people next to them being loud during the show or, you know, kids getting drunk and being rowdy. Like, this is a place to listen to music, to respect the artist, and really not that people are disrespecting artists, but generally a lot of these cover bands and things like that are background music, you
yeah.
know. I mean, again, some of these musicians are phenomenal. I've been
oh, yeah.
blown away by some of these cover band artists. But
do you know Paul Donovan?
I don't.
He's been on the podcast. He's fantastic. And we were laughing because when he started playing, because I usually have some people come in and then we usually try to play four songs throughout the hour. And he played his first song. I'm like, dude, you're from the 80s, man. You're you're an old metal guy from the 80s. It's like, oh, yeah. And because I could hear it, and I go, you remind me of that last scene in the movie Rockstar. You remember Rockstar, yes. The movie? When, what's his name? Whatever his name is. Sits down and Mark Wahlberg sits down and plays his acoustic guitar. And I think it's Colors or I don't know, but he goes, oh, my God. And he actually ended up playing the song on the podcast.
Oh,
it was
that's
so
hilarious.
Cool.
That's awesome. See, yeah. And I love people who can do that, who can just like play a song off that blows me away. I've been playing guitar for, I don't know, 20 something years, and I could never do that.
Like, well, you might be able to. Maybe.
I just don't have the confidence to do it necessarily.
Well, and you know, in Paul's defense, I don't think he just faked it. I think he had played it. It was actually a song by The Verve.
Okay.
And he's played it before. And so, but he, you know. It's not like he played it yesterday, so it was nice.
But
to
there
hear.
Are people who can do that.
Oh yeah,
just, you know they've heard the song maybe once or twice in their head, and they can just play, and that blows me away. And you know, it's that kind of respect for musicians that kind of has brought me to this place. You know, I myself am a musician and a songwriter, and
well, I told my wife, I go, why didn't she just play?
You know, a lot of people ask me about that, and at some point I will play. Sure. But the fact of the matter is, like, I am busy being boss lady and organizing things and making sure the artists are taken care of and making sure all the staff knows what they're doing. You know, at some point I'm sure I will jump in.
And you did a great job at that. You were, I mean, everywhere. And I think it was your husband there too.
He was filming.
Yeah. And then he was also babysitting.
He was babysitting. We have gotten a babysitter for the next event because, you know, my daughter, I think, has very good intentions to be a good audience member, but they're 9. So at the end of the day, like, maybe we can hold their attention for about 45 minutes.
Well, and also kids at that age in this kind of setting are like, how come there's all these people at our family event here?
Yeah.
It's like
Yeah, I mean, my daughter kind of gets it. I think they both get it. My son gets it too, but you know, like, I played the Ladybug Festival, they came to the Ladybug Festival, and they were like, very sweet, adorable audience members for about 5 minutes. And then they just started having a loud conversation, you know. And it was not a big venue, so I'm just sitting there playing my own music and being heckled, essentially, by my children.
Kids.
So, you know, they're good for, like, a quick show.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so.
No, absolutely. So, I guess, I've never done anything like this, so how does it... How do you entice artists to come to Rehoboth Beach besides, you know, obviously the beach and stuff or
money?
Yeah. Well, I love to hear about it. I just don't, you know, I don't want to.
Yeah.
Your
no,
deal,
I mean,
but I don't. Is it tough to get somebody to come here?
Actually. So I'm very lucky. So I have a, you know, 20 something year career of being a singer songwriter. And through that time, I've developed a lot of connections. I'm a human Rolodex. So if I meet somebody and have a connection with them, they are in my life forever.
Oh.
So for instance, Christine Lavin. So my neighbor growing up, his name is Doug Mishkin. He's an incredible songwriter as well and also a lawyer. And he plays the Woody's Children Festival.
Okay.
And Christine also plays the Woody's Children Festival. And I think Doug had introduced me to Christine, and then we just sort of created this lifelong friendship, which is really great.
Yeah.
And she, when I emailed her about this, I said, you know, I'm opening this music venue and I'd love for you to do our first event. She basically was like, just, you know, make me an offer with my booking agent and I'll say yes. So for her, she was doing it as a favor to me. The people I don't know as well, I have to pay them their rate or at least close to their rate. We are offering housing for these artists.
Okay.
Which is, I think, very helpful. You know, it's an extra, whatever, $200 that they wouldn't have to be spending.
Sure.
So that helps too. It's tough because we are so far east. But what I've been doing a lot is kind of stalking artists that I like. And if they're playing in Philly or they're playing in Annapolis or Baltimore and they have a date open on either side, I'll say, hey, you know, we have this new venue. We'd love for you to come play. We're smaller than World Cafe or Ram's Head. So sometimes it's a little difficult to get people in if we don't want to charge, you know, $60 a ticket, which I can't imagine people would be willing to pay.
$60 a ticket? You know, we were getting ready to go to Firefly. That was about set us back about $1,000. So, you know, I think
well, yeah,
there
but
is
that's
something...
a big festival. It's different. Yeah, I mean, I think that there's wiggle room depending on the artist, right? So I think we undercharged for the Christine Lavin show because it sold out so quickly.
Yeah.
Especially the VIP tickets sold out very fast, and those were $45. So right. I think we could have charged more for that. And, you know, we'll kind of adjust as we go, and we're learning, you know?
Well, I think we're at a time right now where, you know, we all want to still help, right? We want to support, but it's really gotten tight, right? So if you can go to a show, and also, I mean, I really just think what you're doing is very cool. Like if I know that I can buy a ticket, you know, for 50, we won't, don't quote us on anything here today, people, but you know, if I can spend $50 for, or $100 for my wife and I to go see, you know, a nice little show, and it doesn't have to be driven to Philly or DC or Dover, you know, it's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not really bad. And, but it's still allowing you to do what you need to do. Right.
Yeah.
You got to at least pay the people. Or, I mean, if you don't have the artists, we really have nothing going on.
Yeah. And I mean, right now we're in this place where we're putting on a concert once a month.
Hmm.
And we're all booked through the end of the year, which is great. And,
that's awesome.
Thank you. We have some great artists coming up. I'll tell you all about them. But, you know, we're in a place of break-even mode where we're just trying to, like, work out the kinks of putting on a show and, you know, getting a certain caliber of artist in, working on contracts and things like that. Just kind of, you know, getting our bearings.
I call it humbled mode. This is humbled mode. Humbled mode.
Yeah, definitely. Like, we're not in it to make millions of dollars right now. I mean,
just break even for now.
Yeah, we're going to break even for now and then kind of figure it out.
Well, it's like this podcast. People ask me, how much money do you make on those podcasts? I go, I don't even make a dollar. I mean, I just enjoy, you know, a little different, right? But, you know, I enjoy doing this. And I think one day, you know, I don't want to charge for it, but just a value to somebody, right? So, you know, you just do it because you love it.
Yeah. And I mean, don't get me wrong. At some point, it's going to be a business. But right now, it's a test case.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and a lot of people go right into business thinking they want to be, you know, a millionaire. And it can be, you know, it's a little bipolar. You know, it's very high, and very low, very quickly. And sometimes people bail. So I think it looks like you're doing it the right way.
That's- yeah, I think so. And I mean, so I can break a little news.
Okay, let's break some news.
Let
me get my special effects going. Okay.
It's not like, I mean, anyway, we were supposed to be in the Vineyards, the new Vineyard space next across from the Redners.
Yeah.
And we actually gave up that lease because we've decided it was too small. And also we have no idea when it's actually going to be open.
Well, that was the issue with this past show, right? You were kind of, well, I guess you said you always knew that wasn't going to happen.
I always knew
right
we weren't going to actually be in our space for a while, but it just sort of feels like nobody knows when it's actually going to open.
Yeah.
And I thought about it. I kind of gave it a lot of, you know, meditation and just decided we have a really good thing going with the movie theater.
Yeah.
They love us. We love them. And it just makes more sense to stay there, keep our eyes open for the right space, and not try to like round hole square peg this thing.
Well, that is, I think, a challenge because where will that space ever be, right? Because that's not a problem, but that is what we deal with here at the beach is that there's not a lot of things like that.
Yeah, it's a challenge. I mean, obviously, whatever space we get, we're going to have to do some changes to make it into a venue. So let's say we take over a restaurant space. You know, we'll have to clear out some spaces to make sure we have a big enough space for a venue. But, you know, if I can find a space that already has bathrooms in it and already has, you know, HVAC system, that would be better. Less cost to set up.
Too bad you can't do something with that old Wise.
Yeah, I know. It's a very big space, though.
I bet you it's crossed your mind.
It's crossed my mind, but, you know.
Wonder what they're going to put there, another grocery store? I'm a little surprised at that one.
I mean, everybody's begging for a Trader Joe's. I actually went and talked to the Trader Joe's people up in Christiana, and they said, yeah, I know we've heard a lot about that place. So I don't think it's going to happen, but.
Well, maybe they can break it up. Maybe they break it up into some other
spots. Could be, yeah.
Well, that's cool. So, yeah, I guess for, I mean, what would be it like, 300 seater or 200?
I mean, yeah. So the original space that we were going to have in the Vineyards was going to be 1860, and we were hoping to do a 60 seat venue.
Okay.
I'd like it to be a little bit bigger if I can. Mm-hmm. We want to keep it intimate enough that a smaller act, a local act, someone who isn't bringing in a full sold out show, it would still feel, filled.
Yeah.
And we want to do variable seating so that, you know, we can do road seating for a big artist, or we could do cafe style seating for a smaller artist. Yeah. And that way the room always feels filled.
Yeah.
And then
what, link up with somebody, one of the other, maybe for food and beverage and stuff?
Well, we're going to have our own food and beverage. We're going to do small plates, okay. Elevated snacks is kind of where my head's at.
Okay.
I'm working with a couple of different chefs to kind of get an idea of what we might do. I don't want to have like a full intense kitchen.
No.
Because I am not in the restaurant business. I'm in the venue business, which is actually the bar business. But
well, you got to try to stay afloat.
Yeah, exactly. So
and that can, done wrong, and it would be like an anchor right to the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, exactly. The plan is to have a coffee shop during the day, really create that like college town coffee shop vibe where you can go talk to the barista about music, yeah. Right? And the barista can tell you why, Ani DeFranco's, Little Plastic Castles, even though it was a commercial record, was actually one of her best records. You know, you want to have these conversations with people. We want to create that kind of cool vibe.
Well, I tell you, there are some great artists here. I mean, Tyler Green, yep. Ian Hunter, what was his name? Graves, Whiskey Graves. He was awesome.
Yeah.
Paul Donovan.
And like Shug Daniels, she's making a lot of waves in the folk scene right now.
Yeah. There's a lot of great young, and I guess right now I just had this band on, Teenage Satellites. They were really good. They were on the other day.
Nice.
Young kids. There's a lot of great artists.
As I said, there's a ton of talent here, and I just think we need some more visibility. And I want to create a place where people know they can come any night of the week and see something or experience something awesome.
So you want to schedule someone every day?
So I don't necessarily, we're not going to necessarily have an artist every single day.
Right.
We'll have open mic night.
Mm.
I want to have other activities. So we're thinking about a drunk yoga class.
Uh-oh.
Which is actually really fun. We've done that in Brooklyn where you have a beer in your hand while you're actually participating in yoga.
It's not like you're drunk. It's just...
No, it's just called like drunk yoga. Yeah, but they incorporate drinking the beer into various yoga moves. I want to do like a singles night because there's a ton of singles around here. There's not a lot of like things just other than bars to hang out in.
Right.
So I want to do a singles night with like music themed games.
Sure.
Right. So like musical chairs, name that tune.
Okay.
Things like that. Obviously we'll do paint nights and we'll do maybe a salsa class or I would like to do bandioke. I'm trying not to do the things that everyone else is doing. So not just a straight up karaoke night. Like I want to have something that's a little bit more interesting.
What'd be cool is if someone would do it as a swing dance class.
Totally.
We used to go up to Philly to do swing dancing. Mm-hmm. I was never good at it, but I learned enough that I could, hang out. But it was a lot of fun. And it was funny because we go to this place. I don't remember the name of the club, but it seemed like it wasn't the same thing every night. You know, like one night it was swing dancing, one night it's, something different. But it was used, the space was used well. And it was a lot of fun. And I remember we took a salsa dancing class, I think at Bethel.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the dance of sin. Right? But it's at the church. It was pretty funny. And
you use the spaces you have.
Yes, you use the spaces you have. And but that might be fun. I know that.
Totally. I really want it to be a community space,
sure.
But centered around music and specifically original music or what I'm calling like underserved music in this area. I also want to do songwriting classes. I have a friend who does songwriting with dementia patients. And, you know, the music hits the brain in a different place than speech does. So music can often trigger lucidity in Alzheimer's patients where, you know, just speech wouldn't. And so she's been doing this project. She lives in Ireland, but she's been doing this project with these dementia patients where she's writing songs with each one of them. And then she's putting it together as a musical. And it's really quite beautiful.
That's heavy.
But then she gets to leave these songs to the family members with like real genuine memories and experiences of their loved ones, which is really beautiful.
That's really cool.
So I'd like to do something. We have obviously have an aging population here. I'd like to do something like that here, but also with kids too. I think kids would be really interested in it as well.
My brother and sister-in-law used to have Middletown Music, and they were same thing. They just did everything music, kids music. I mean, they had a lot of fun, but yeah, they ended up moving to Florida. I think they're now performers down in Florida. He's a great saxophone player and she's a great singer. So there's a whole gig down there, but it'd be nice if we could get something like that going on up here.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's just figuring out, I guess it all falls back into paying people, right? Unfortunately. Yeah. And I guess, I don't know, maybe in the beginning you maybe need some help, right? Like, hey, give us maybe a little break here on this one. Just see if we can get it
from the artist.
Yeah.
I think, yes.
You hate to ask for that, but
I know. And especially post-pandemic where they weren't making a lot of money.
Right.
You know, but I mean, we're doing the whole, we're a new venue and we don't quite know what the audience is. And, you know, I mean.
Well, I think some artists are, I can't believe I get paid anyway, right? You know, I'm doing something that I absolutely love.
Some artists would just do it for free. Well, I grew up in the music scene in New York.
Okay.
And I never got paid to play. I mean, you get a split of the door sometimes.
Yep.
And then if you play with a band, then you're definitely losing money. You know, I would play, maybe I'd make $100 and I would split that between my bandmates and I wouldn't make a dime because I was just playing because I loved it. Yeah. You know, it wasn't my job necessarily. Right. Now, these people, it is their job. So I want to respect that. But I do think that we will have for, you know, up and coming local artists, we may not pay or we'll pay. We'll definitely pay something, but we'll pay a split of the door instead of a guarantee. So some of these bigger, you know, national acts, we pay a guarantee.
Yeah.
But
it's just starting. It'll evolve.
Yeah, we'll figure all of that out. I want to be fair to everyone. I certainly don't want, you know, anybody to feel like they're getting screwed. Another thing, though, a big benefit for us is that we provide all the equipment.
Right.
That's another thing that's kind of foreign to me, because in New York, you never brought your own sound equipment. You would just show up, plug in, and go. Here, every artist has their own equipment and they lug it to every gig, which seems so strange to me. So we have a full, beautiful, brand new sound setup. Yeah. I mean, you heard it.
Yeah,
I think
great.
It sounded phenomenal.
Yeah.
We have our own lighting. Obviously, people are welcome to bring, you know, whatever amps or anything that they prefer, but we're providing that as a service. So I think that that helps kind of eliminate some costs too.
Yeah, well, and I think, you know, it's at some point people also just like, you know, get to come down to the beach, right, hang out.
Well, and that's the thing, like, especially during the summer or during this time, which I think is the best time down here.
Yeah.
You know, I think that that can be an enticement to get people down here.
I can tell you, everybody just come on the podcast that I've asked to come play music. I didn't pay them. I have no money for this.
Yeah.
And they love it. They love to, you know, they love to perform, and I think it's great. And, you know, I guess if it's maybe on a Saturday night or something, but there's plenty of time. I bet there's a lot of people like, hey, I'll just come play.
Yeah.
I'm
hoping that we just build enough of a community that we will have regulars who just want to play for tips or for, you know, some split of the door. Again, I want to be fair. People have gas to pay and, you know, especially if it is their job.
That'd
be
a fun name. They're playing for tips. That'd be a fun name for a place, a club. You know, they're playing for tips.
Playing for tips. Yeah.
And people just say, oh, they are playing for tips, so let's tip them.
That's the deal.
That's the deal.
I went out to L.A. and I played this club, which I won't mention their name, but Their policy was you had to sell 20 tickets. And if you didn't sell 20 tickets, you did not get paid at all. If you did sell 20 tickets, you split the door. And I sold 19 tickets.
Oh.
And I said to them, well, why don't I just pay for the 20th ticket? And they said, no, you can't do that because that 20th person would be drinking and eating food. And I was so mad. I should have just bought one on the sly before.
Well, it's funny you bring that up. You know, I grew up in the 80s, right? And it was big Axl Rose and all these great people. And, you know, where I grew up, everybody in my town wanted to be a rock star. Everybody mm-hmm. wanted to get to L.A. You know, let's got to get to the Troubadour. Got to get to the Roxy.
Mm-hmm.
And there'd be these packs of kids that would leave off for L.A. in a car. And you'd be like, good luck, man. And then they'd come back, you know, one by one. And finally moved out to San Diego and started hanging out down in that L.A. scene. And it's just like that. You know, you had to pay to play.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the amount of flyers stuck on every freaking pole. I mean, know. Thick. You know, I think they used to have to come by.
Scrape them off.
Scrape them off or use some machine to get them off because these guys were in their staplers. Just
yeah. And,
but that was the scene, you know. It was everybody wanted to be, I guess, a rock star or just a famous musician.
And yeah, I mean, it's the same thing in New York. You know, I was there for...
CBGBs.
Yep. I used to play, and I can't remember the name. So CBGBs used to have this venue next door. It's like the loft at CBGBs or CBGBs Cafe or something like that.
Yeah.
And so I used to play there a ton. I loved playing there. It was great. But it was like a totally different vibe. You know, I'd be like, oh, I'm playing CBGBs. And people go, really? I'm like, well, not that CBGBs.
Loft. It's loft. But whatever.
But yeah, I mean, and I played Bitter End and I got started at this place called the Bag It In, which doesn't exist anymore, but it was this awesome little venue.
I don't think CBGBs exists.
CBGBs
anymore.
Is gone. Yeah, it's they took a it down. John Varvatos store now.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Did they keep any of the CBGBs?
I don't think so.
You know, in New York, they'll take an old rundown bar yeah. and just start putting clothes racks in it.
I don't know. I haven't been in it out of principle, but I don't think anything's really there anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a bummer. I'm sure that they like auctioned off a bunch of things, and you know,
music is so funny. I won't ask your age. I'm 54. I'm a little older, and when I was a kid growing up, man, we were just so dedicated to our bands,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, I was a huge, my first real love was like AC/DC or Aerosmith. I remember seeing the movie Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band with the Bee Gees, and I was a little kid, and there was no VHS back then. It was the movie theater, and like I'm that old, but I'll never forget. If you saw the movie where Steven Tyler comes out of the floor, he was like the original Axl Rose, right? Mm-hmm. He was... You know, leather, scars, bandanas.
I mean, he's still amazing.
He's still amazing. I just saw a video of him doing, what is he do? Whatever the song that, of course, you now have to remember. Anyway, but you know, you loved your band, right? Yeah. And you stuck with your band forever. It mm-hmm. was like, you know, a new album came out maybe once a year. I was a big, you know, it was Judas Priest. I mean, that
right.
was.
Yeah, and you listen to an album you from listen cover to album. Cover, right?
Well, they and there was an art
don't
to.
Do that anymore.
There was an art to the placement of these songs. It was yeah. a journey. One of my favorite albums is a band, Iron Maiden, but mm-hmm. there's a band, they do, an album they did, Peace of Mind, and it's just this story, you know, and mm-hmm. it's just such a great time in music. And now we just throw artists to the side like they're nothing. And it's. My kids do it, you know. And
yeah.
I love my kids.
We're
kids
in a singles culture.
Yeah, we're a singles. Well, I guess. I mean, I always tell the story. My son was such a big 21 Pilots fan. Took him to Firefly to see 21 Pilots. He was, oh, my God. Took him to Brooklyn to see 21 Pilots. Oh, my God. And then the other day, he's, like, taking down all his tapestries. I'm like, what's going on? He goes, well, I don't like them anymore.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's kid stuff, too, but. Yeah. Yeah. You know, as I said, singles culture, but we're not even there. It's like a TikTok where you only get like 15 seconds of a song.
It's getting that way.
Yeah. It's really, it's interesting because like now as someone who books music, I find that I'm like, you know, scanning through someone's like YouTube page and I'll literally just like skip ahead like 30 seconds and like get to the chorus. I just want to hear the chorus.
Show which me is the glory.
Like, that's so unfortunate, right? Because like here I am preaching the word of like storytelling and I'm not even listening to someone's whole story. But a lot of times I'll kind of skip, just make sure that they're, you know, worth listening to, and then I'll go back and listen to the whole song. But you know, I'm caught as a musician in this sort of weird liminal space between that kind of album culture and the sort of not the TikTok culture, but the singles, the iPod, yeah. Apple, you know, iTunes world, where, because like my first two albums, they have an arc, they have a story, you know, they have a smell. But I do remember just, you know, painstakingly going through each song and making sure that this one's transitioned into this one correctly. And now, you know, my last album was an EP, 5 songs. I'm just like, let's just make some great songs that we can, you know, put in a film or TV. And then the same, I'm making one right now with Cliff Hillis. Have you had him on?
I have not.
Oh, you
should. I'd love to.
He doesn't live here anymore, but he grew up here. He lives in Phoenixville. But his brother, Roger, lives down here.
Okay.
Anyway, so...
He's ever in town.
Yeah. Anyway, so Cliff and I are making this record, and it's very... It's just a collection of songs. It's not... There's no arc. Right. I mean, there is sort of a theme just because it's me, and it's personal, but, you know, it's not... Not to say that it's a bad record. It just isn't an album.
It's more
in that.
Suited for the people that listen to records and stuff today.
I mean, I am, at the end of the day, yes, I'm a songwriter, but I'm also a businesswoman, and I understand, you know, how to sell albums, I think.
Yeah. Well, listen,
I think.
When you figure it out, and then all of a sudden the following week it changes, and you're like, oh, geez.
Algorithms.
Well, it's, and, you know, it's funny you mentioned TikTok and those kind of things. My wife's like, my grandma or grandpa bought Teresa, who's my daughter, the biggest mango I've ever seen. I'm like, oh, wow, that's great. So you're going to need to cut it up when you get home. I was like, okay. Love to, right. And so I get home, and it's this giant mango. It looks like a freaking watermelon. I'm like, oh. I go, let's make a reels, right? I go, because my daughter, listen, my kids, you probably realize this as well. My kids are brilliant when it comes to these little reels, man. And I go...
are more tech savvy than I am, and I was a computer programmer.
I'm seriously about to hire my 10 and 11 year old to manage our social media for our Instagram, for this podcast, and for the salon, because they're freaking brilliant. And she goes, I go, why don't we do a little fun TikTok thing? Because she's always, Daddy, do a video with me. Let's make a video. I'm like,
yeah, my kids are desperate for a YouTube channel.
Yes, they are. Well, yeah, mine too, but I'm not sure. That might have even faded, because now they basically have their own YouTube channel, TikTok.
I know.
Reels.
Well, my kids are nine. I have twins, and they're more into YouTube than TikTok now. But I think
it's coming.
It's coming.
So Teresa and I, we make this little video. She shoots all the clips. She puts all the music together, and it's just this video of me cutting up a mango. But you know, I do the crisscross slicing, and then I turn it inside out. We're all like the glory. That video got almost 5,000 views last night. And I'm like, I quit.
Yeah, like, I
quit, because I like making reels. I like I ride my e-bike down to the beach and do sunrise stuff. And just, you know, I just like to show the area. And, you know, it gets like 20 views.
I know.
Carve up a mango with some great Eddie Vedder behind it, and almost 5,000. I told her, I go, we almost got 5,000 views on that. She's like, show me.
Well, I mean, you know, that reminds me, when the whole Spotify debacle was going down, like at the end of last year, and, you know, people were posting how much money they were making from their Spotify streams, and it was like, you know, even big artists were making like $30 for the year. I read this, not exactly an article, it was like a post basically, from someone who had been a manager in the music business, and basically said, don't blame Spotify, blame the fact that we have no gatekeepers anymore. There's nothing to tell us what is good and what is not, what is content and what is not content. And in some ways, that's great, very freeing, right? Because things rise to the surface that other people would never have seen before. But in another way, you know, we do kind of need to be told what's good and what's not. Like, there's a reason curation exists. There's a reason museums exist. There's a reason record labels existed, not just for funding, but also to be those gatekeepers and kind of weed out the things that maybe feel good in the moment, that are sugar, you know, give you a little bit of a sugar high, but aren't actually good in the long run.
Right.
And we don't have that anymore.
No.
Anyone can put a song up on YouTube, Spotify. Anybody can make a TikTok of slicing mango instead of making a full-fledged music video that was really well thought out.
Well, TikTok and Reels isn't really the platform for making a real official like music video.
No, it's not. But that's where the attention is right now.
Well, and you know, I think you really hit it right on the head. I mean, when I was a kid, we would go. I laugh at this because I'm turning into that guy. But we would go to the movies. There was no VHS. It was like the movies. Right. You want to see a movie, you had to go to the movie theater, and it was a 2.5 hour movie or whatever. And then, you know, then they start doing like miniseries on TVs. And then they start doing TV movies, right? And then it's sitcoms. And then it's half hour sitcoms. And then it's shorter and shorter. And now, basically, we are entertained with little 3 second clips. Mm-hmm. I mean, all we want now is a 3 second clip. And then we'll just move on to the next one.
I know.
It was funny. My wife sent me a reel last night and I was looking at it. And it was so good. It was about this lady's like, it was like, When people don't drink, they're like, how come you don't drink? It was really funny.
Oh, yeah,
and and I kept watching it. And then all of a sudden, Instagram started sliding the thing up like, you need to swipe
watching.
Up. Keep swiping.
Watching.
And I kept watching it because it was really funny. I'm like, how'd she do this? She must have had to, you know, memorize all the text or the words or spoken word and then change her outfits. And I'm like really fascinated by it. And it's like, come on, man, keep going. It keeps sliding up. And I'm like,
TikTok's
stop
the
it.
Same way. Yeah. I mean, I have been in and out of TikTok throughout my life. Most recently, I kind of started following all these musicians, and I was like, oh, I get TikTok. I understand. Like, Andy Grammer has the most amazing TikTok. Like, he's very, like, socially engaged with his audience. He does duets with his audience all the time. It's awesome, you know? So I was like, oh, I get this for a musician. And I tried really hard to do it, and I just don't have the energy. But it does do that. You'll sit in bed at night and you'll just be like, I'm watching the TikToks.
Yeah.
And you keep going and you keep going. And then all of a sudden it's like 3 hours later. It's a real rabbit hole.
It is. Well, I am not on TikTok. I use my Instagram Reels.
Right.
And then I watch YouTube Shorts. Those are my two.
Which, I mean, YouTube Shorts is basically TikTok.
Whatever. You're right.
You know, they stole it from TikTok.
But I'm not going to join. I'm an adult. I'm not getting on TikTok, right?
There's plenty of adults on TikTok. I mean, we're definitely going to have a listening booth TikTok because I think that there's ways that you can kind of engage people. Also, it would be a great way for recruiting artists.
Well, we had Teddy Beats, who's playing Firefly Thursday and Friday on. And I said, you know, I do a lot of reels. I mean, I'm biking and sunrises and the beach and stuff. But does it help you when people, because I didn't realize, think about using any of his music in my reel. And he's like, we would love it if you would use our music.
That's how you break music now.
Yeah. And so you can really help an artist. So I made a couple of reels with Teddy Beats. Teddy Beats like, I love it. You know,
right.
They were excited. I'm not sure how many views it got. For some reason, like the beautiful ones get nothing. And
I
then
know.
Cutting a Stupid Mango, almost 5,000.
So it's so sad.
It is a weird kind of situation. But but now, like we did the podcast last night with Oh He Dead, and they're playing. They're starting the day off on Sunday at 12:45. Great band, and I'm like, I need to start, you know, trying to share a little love with this band, and they're a local band out of DC.
Yeah.
So if you are doing reels, use some, and you can help.
Definitely.
You know, you can definitely help an artist. And you look at like a Willow. Love Willow,
mm-hmm.
But she'll have a song. I forget the song Vibe or whatever it was, but I think it had like a billion listens.
Yeah.
And then she had some other songs that didn't. And clearly that song went through TikTok and went through
Absolutely.
Reels and got really a lot of engagement. So the world's different now. I think when you and I, or when I was a kid.
We're not that much different in age.
but when we were kids, you know, our support was to buy the album and to go see the concert and buy our cool jerseys now. But now, you know, we can support artists, you know, through, if we're going to do TikToks, if you have a favorite artist, use their music.
Yeah.
You know, my daughter's like, pick the music, Daddy. I go, you pick it, honey. And so she picked Eddie Vedder. And she knows I'm a huge Pearl Jam fan and love Eddie Vedder. And she picked this song. And I'm like, you picked Eddie Vedder? She goes, yeah, Daddy.
Like, isn't that fun when your kids start like liking the music you like?
Yeah, especially because the other two don't. Annoying. My sons, I mean, both of them were going to be named Eddie Vedder at one point in there. You know, I was like, can we name him Eddie Vedder? No? Okay. How about David? So that, but they just do not care. But my daughter's like, I know you love Eddie Vedder, Daddy. And I'm like, thank you, honey.
It's so funny. We, first of all, our dog's name is Joey Ramone.
Hey-o.
But
friend of Eddie Vedder.
We made sure when we named our kids that they both had names that could be either rock star or artists.
Sure.
Names. But, my husband is actually much better at it than I am, but he's created like a Spotify playlist of songs that he likes that he knows the kids would like.
Mm.
And that's what he plays every time they get in the car. So they're hearing these songs all the time. And actually, Addie's favorite song right now is Kink Shirt by Matt Nathanson.
Okay.
Matt's a friend of mine. And so it's always fun to hear
her
singing the song. And
I want to get a shirt. You know, we make a lot of. Actually, what I was going to say was Spotify makes some great playlists. I mean, Spotify is killing it. I was totally into iTunes, loving iTunes, Apple iTunes. I'll die with it. And my oldest is like, dude, you are missing out. And I'm like, fine. So I ended up dropping iTunes. Sorry, iTunes, and getting Spotify, and then got the family plan, the premium, and then. But my gosh, I want to get a shirt for this. For the other podcast, the Discovery Music Podcast, and I want to put on the back, trust a playlist, right? Because if you will trust your playlist that Spotify makes you, I mean, Spotify has completely opened my eyes and my mind to different music.
Well, I do a lot of, like, I'll pick an artist that I like and make a radio playlist around them. You know, they do the automated. And, you know, that's what Pandora did so well, like, 10 years ago. But now Spotify is just killing it with that. And actually, one of the artists that we're having in November at Listening Booth is someone that I had heard on a Spotify playlist. Her name's Antje Duvekot, and she's amazing. She's playing November 19th at the Listening Booth, and she's awesome. Everyone should come out and hear her.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, it's in support, right? I mean, listen, sometimes we have to eat the vegetables, right? Sometimes we have to. Sometimes we have to show up. And listen, I think that, you know, whether it's your favorite music or not your favorite, but we are trying to build the foundation to start providing the place for artists to come play here in Rehoboth.
And I would love nothing more than people to hear Rehoboth and Lewis and just think, oh, yeah, that's a music town.
Mm.
That would be amazing.
Well, and we got to shout out to Michelle Freeman in the Freeman stage.
Absolutely. I mean,
they're killing it out there. But they are now becoming so big.
It's big. I mean, the artists there are a different caliber than the artists that we're looking after. And, you know, I mean, look, it's fantastic what they're doing. But, we're cultivating. They're showcasing and we're cultivating.
Well, and it sort of shows how hungry this area is for music. I mean, I remember when she started it and it was really pretty basic. I mean, luckily she had a big spot, which is always great.
Right.
But I mean, it was pretty, you know, it was tables in the field. I mean, it was pretty beginners. But she's been working at it and working at it. And it just shows how much in the summer, right? In the summer.
And we are aiming to be a year-round venue.
Right.
We are aiming to get locals involved, have people really be part of this scene. It's not just a tourist attraction. We want it to be Lewis's place to hear music, you know?
Well, and I think, year-round, this will become a locals kind of thing. You know, you talk, you know, like a Freeman stage or something, it's summer. Right. And it's known by summer people.
Well, because it's outside too.
Some are here, some aren't. And, you know, they know that. But when you're local and, you know, you're going through it in February and in March and in April. And that's, you know, those are the people when they come in the summer, like, you know, what's the latest thing going on? It's like, oh, this took place during the winter.
Yeah.
So that's, I think it's, I love it.
You can also drive everywhere in the winter.
Yeah. I tell you what, we moved out of Rehoboth. I hate to admit it. Stuck there for 30 years and finally got out. And oh my gosh, I'm loving, you know, loving Long Neck. I'm loving Milton, right? I'm loving all these areas.
It's great. Milton has a cool scene happening. And Milton Theater.
Milton is
excellent. To give them crazy props. My daughter doing Milton Theater after school right now. But their programming is phenomenal.
Yep. You know, and they've just been grinding through it. Just keep on.
They said they have something like 400 shows a year.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Like,
well, and they, you know, they have, I mean, I think they bring in regular artists, but they do a lot of like tribute stuff.
A lot of tribute
Black
stuff.
Black Sabbath tribute.
And then they have like drag shows and they have magicians and they have, you know, things like that, which great. Like there's a place for that for right. sure. We're not competing with them.
No.
In that way.
Well, and when we started doing this podcast early on, the whole premise was cooperation over competition. I mean, how can we help? Just because nobody in this town should be competing against each other. It's just a bad vibe. It's a bad way to be.
We're too small for that.
We're too small. And you know what? It's kind of a, you know, a dark heart, right? You know, I remember when I opened the salon and... I remember another salon opened. I'm like, that's it. I'm done. My business is over, right? But I think in the end, I think, you know, you want to send, I always say, you know, send them fruit, send them flowers. Hey, welcome.
Yeah.
What can we do to help? It's a way better way to start a relationship and than to badmouth them or be in fear.
It was interesting. I was talking to another musician and she does a lot of touring. And she was saying, you know, what's kind of great is that a band could come in, play, you know, Bottle and Cork one night, and then the lead singer can do an acoustic show the next mm-hmm. night at the listening booth.
That'd be awesome.
Right? So those kinds of collaborations would be beautiful, you know, and mutually beneficial. And so there's no reason for us to be, you know, fighting
or
competing in that way. I mean, not that I'm saying that any of that has happened. So far, everyone has been incredibly welcoming and incredibly excited about it.
Well, I've been like, I'm on the hunt for artists. I've been trying to bring them in. I mean, I think anybody that can.
I'll send them all your way.
Well, and I'll send anybody I see your way. I think anybody that's been on this podcast as far as musical performance-wise would be great for you.
Yeah.
You know, Paul Donovan, he was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love that guy. Whiskey Graves, great. Ian Bryant, great. All these guys have been awesome, and they're all hungry.
Yeah.
Right? They just want to perform. I remember Ian Hunter maybe was his name. He was one of the first people I had on. We met him at Lefty's.
Oh, yeah.
And he was there playing, you know, just a mic and a guitar. His wife was in the booth. They had their two babies. They're
awesome.
Hanging out. And I'm like, I love this. I mean, you know, this is a family adventure.
Yeah.
And he came on the podcast. Great. Just super thankful. Did we help? I don't know. But I tell you what, he was awesome and I loved it. And
awesome.
But there's a bunch of them out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, it's just, I've been getting emails every day from local artists saying, hey, I heard you're opening this venue. I want to play. So what we're trying to do is, like, if we're bringing in a national act, we try to pair them with a local artist to open.
Yeah.
And, you know, the opener gets a nice 35, 45-minute set. It's not like a, you know, rinky-dink, you know, you got 15 minutes, kid.
Right.
So hopefully that'll be nice exposure for everybody.
Are you looking for sponsorship?
You know,
are you ready for that?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm open to anything at this point. You know, I think we're looking at maybe some like alcohol sponsors, like people who want to help, you know, either run our bar or sponsor our bar or whatever. We haven't really figured out the funding thing yet.
Or figure out what you need the money for.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing is I do have a few kind of staff members and I'd really like to be paying them.
Yeah.
You know, and I threw them a couple $100 after the last show, but that's not really, you know, that's not really being paid for the amount of
they
work
they probably
that they're
didn't
doing.
Want anything. They probably thought it was really cool.
Well, they certainly weren't expecting anything,
yeah.
Right? They're in it because they love it and it's like sweat equity, you know?
Well, listen, if you're in the rock and roll business for money, you might as well forget it.
No, it's very true.
It's about the love. I mean, when I was growing up in Albuquerque, it was always a friend, you know, always had bands, friends in bands. And it was like, can we come help load you up?
Right.
Load it out.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
for
I mean,
sure.
It was like, I don't want anything. I just want to be part of it.
Right. If you have a job and you're just helping out, that's one thing. But, you know, some of these people, like, they want this to be their job.
Sure.
And so I would like to make it feel like their job and I would like to be legit in that way. So that's the only thing. I may get some funding to pay them throughout like this year of experimentation, because it would be nice to let them work one less day bartending or one less day waitressing or whatever.
Yeah.
And they could really focus their attention a little bit more on the listening booth.
It is weird. We've been trying. We've had some sponsors. We just lost a sponsor. It's weird because when you start taking sponsor money, then all of a sudden you're sort of like beholden to them.
Well, it depends on, you know, what strings are kind of attached to that.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. When that's, you start having like people like telling you what to do and stuff, and you're like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I certainly wouldn't want that kind of sponsorship. You know, I think with the alcohol, if they're like, we want an exclusive, I think that would probably be fine.
Sure.
Or food. I'm always looking for food, like yeah. people who are interested in helping us with the food, because we're still trying to figure that out. I don't know if you noticed, but we had like way too much food at the last show. So
didn't get any food.
You didn't get any food?
No.
Oh, it was at the concession stand.
Well, I went to the concession stand. I think I maybe got popcorn.
Yeah, the truffle popcorn?
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
That was good. Well, listen, I appreciate you coming on. I hope you'll come on again. I mean, the door is always open for you. Anytime you want to talk about something share or...
And when is this going to air? Because I want to...
I'm going to post it right now.
Okay, great. So on next Wednesday night, we have our locals showcase.
Okay.
And it's with Tyler Green.
Oh, I mentioned Tyler.
Yes, hey. I know you did. And Nate McCormick. And Ashley, I'm going to butcher her last name. I think it's Ruach. She's from Freshly Squeezed.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, so the three of them are going to do like a Songwriters in the Round thing. It's at 7:30 on the 28th of September at the Cinema Art Theater.
That's going to be cool.
It's going to be a great show.
He's been on my podcast twice.
Yeah, Tyler's awesome. He runs the open mic night at arenas. That's kind of where I've met a lot of these other musicians.
I'll give you some of the other people that I've had on the podcast. I mean, I guess I can give you the number. I mean, what the hell? Rock and roll, man. But I'll pass these because I think all these guys would be great, guys and girls. I don't think I've had any girls on. Gals.
You need more women. It's a little bit of a challenge. I'll give you some names of people you should. Actually, you should have Lavender Brown on. She's about to play the Delaware Folk Festival.
Have anybody you suggest. If they want to give me an hour, I will do whatever I have to do to get them on.
I will get her on. She's awesome.
And maybe you and I can, you know, not like work together, but like, you know, I can help.
Well, I think we talked a little bit about like when the venue opens, you can do some little mini podcast or something from the listening booth. Like
absolutely.
A couch interview of each artist.
I would love that. Please, let's do that.
Yeah,
it's funny.
I think that would be really fun.
You know, we've been doing Firefly for 3 years now and haven't been given a ticket or anything. And we were talking about it, like, we really need to, because they allow people to come do podcasts at Firefly. We just didn't get into it for that.
Right.
But then I'm like, we should try to do something. So maybe we can practice doing it with you.
Yeah, I think it'd be awesome.
Yeah, because I love helping.
Yeah.
Any way we can.
Yeah, I think that'd be awesome.
Website?
It's listeningbooth.com.
Instagram?
I believe it's Lewis Listening I think it's Lewis Listening. Or no, that's Twitter. Twitter is Lewis Listening. Instagram is Listening Booth Lewis.
Okay.
I believe. I should know all these things. But it's all on the website. It's listeningbooth.com. Our calendar for the whole year is up. We have Scott Cook in October. We have Anche Duvicott in November and Lily Lewis in December.
And you can follow all that on your Instagram. And
We're on Facebook and all that stuff.
TikTok.
We're not on TikTok
yet. Come on,
yet,
let's get the TikTok.
I believe I created a TikTok account. We just have to figure out what our strategy. We have a head of hype. She's our marketing person, and she's kind of in charge of all of that.
Well, unless she's 10, she's old and worthless.
Yeah, I know. She's my age.
I told you, I'm going to hire my daughter. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to hire you.
She has an 8-year-old, so maybe the 8-year-old can handle the TikTok for us.
You know, it's funny. I read this book called The Fourth Turning, and it just talks about, you know, kind of these chunks of time. But it says, you know, we're in the end of one of these chunks of time, the crisis, right? Whatever. But it says the saving grace is going to be, it says the millennials, but the artists, you know, the young people, and people are like, they need to get a job. And I go, the difference is now is 3 years ago, they may have waited on your table. Now they are the DJ in the restaurant.
Yeah.
And that's the real awesome thing that's going on right now in the world, in the country, I don't know, but these young people are killing it.
I mean, and they're, it's interesting. They're really like following their passions and dreams in a way. Like I grew up in a time where, yeah, you could be an artist, you could be a musician, you could be whatever, but you had to have a real job.
You better get a job.
So like I was a music major in college, but I was a music education major. So I could teach as soon as I got out of school, which I never did. I never taught. But it was sort of this weird, like, you know, being on the periphery of your dream. And I think that's always caused this bit of dissatisfaction in me, and which is part of, you know, why I'm opening the listening booth.
Well,
you
it's
know?
A little annoying seeing what's going on right now, because this is what
it
you
is
and
a
I,
little yeah. annoying, right? Because it's like kids can wanted. Become like so famous overnight.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, that's a post-pandemic thing too. I think us as adults were like, screw this. Like, I don't want to be a computer programmer anymore. Right. I did that. It's enough. I wanna follow my dream. I wanna be in music.
Yeah.
Do I wanna be a full-time musician? Nah, not really. That doesn't sound super appealing. I'm not very good at practicing or, you know, putting a band together. Like, you know, but I am really good at helping other musicians do their thing.
Yeah.
So that's
it's cool. I love I you know, it's I have to keep my opinions, but I think it's awesome. I love it. What's going on? All right, listen, I appreciate you coming on. Go check the listening booth out. Great merch. Oh, and my thing fell off over there, so we gotta iron that one back on. But I love your logo. I love the merch.
You.
My wife loves her crop top shirt.
Thank you. Did you see? This is one I think we're gonna make. It says,
Tell me more
about your band.
I love it.
It's like, you know, that I don't care about your band little thing. So yeah. This is, I think of the staff shirts will be, tell me more about your band.
I love it. And I'm going to make sure to say, trust the playlist.
Trust the playlist.
Trust
I like
the
it.
Playlist. Well, listen, keep us updated. We'll post this today. And thank you.
Great.
All right. Bye.
Bye.